Ted Farrell is back with us with his wine chat from Haskell's. Ted, good morning.
Good morning, Daddy. How are you this fine day?
I am doing quite well, and you are right about that. It is a fine day, and I'm looking at the forecast as we speak. Summer evidently is still with us. 85 today, 83 today, and I'm looking at the forecast as we speak. Summer evidently is still with us. 85 today, 83 tomorrow. I love it.
It's terrific. I'm actually calling from New York City, where it's overcast and rainy. And so it's just the opposite. I'm just green with envy that you're enjoying all that great weather.
Well, what's going on? What brings you to the Big Apple?
Well, my brother and I at Haskell's received the Market Watch Leader Award. Market Watch is our industry magazine that kind of keeps a finger on the pulse of people doing things. It's a subsidiary of the Wine Spectator. So if there's listeners out there who love to read the Wine Spectator, this is kind of the business side of it. So we came out here and received our award, and now we're walking around and enjoying a little bit of NYC.
Oh, that's excellent. Congratulations. Well deserved, as they say. Well, what can we talk about this morning from NYC?
Well, you know, the best part is, and you kind of started up just right, is this warm weather that we're having. As I see some people joke Minnesota's having second summer. And it's nice and warm outside. And what better wine to have on a nice warm day like this than some rosés? I mean, rosés have gained back in popularity, and it's a terrific attribute for people really keeping their open minds and trying wines and liking wines. Because, you know, rosé wines or pink wines had a kind of a bad spur back in the late 80s and early 90s, where so many people loved all that white Zinfandel. And now White Zinfandel had a great story at the Sutter Home Winery back in the late 70s, early 80s. They were harvesting their wines. They brought in their Zinfandel, and they brought it in, but then all of a sudden they got a report that all the Merlot was ready. So they had to empty out the tanks and get everything for Merlot, because Merlot at that time was Chateau cash flow. That was the horse that drew the cart. And so they put this wine over to the side. They forgot about it. Well, when the harvest was over, they realized they had a huge tank of pink wine. And what they did is they put a label on it, called it White Zinfandel, and they started selling it out of the winery, right there on the winery, I should say, out of the tasting room. And eventually people liked it so much, it grew and grew and grew. And it became a phenomenon of people loving pink wine. But the tricky part about White Zinfandel, quite frankly, was it was very, very sweet, sugary. Some people even kind of manufactured it. And that's what kind of really bastardized pink wine. So many people thought, well, I don't drink pink wines because they're kind of a Kool-Aid sweet sort of wine, and I don't like sweet wines. But a properly made rosé is just a treat in itself. It's, you know, it's almost a red wine or a white wine that drinks with a little bit of red wine flavor to it. Just wonderful wine, especially now on a warm day like today. You could bury that rosé at the bottom of the ice chest, get it nice and chilly, and then this afternoon when it is about 85, 87 degrees, you crack that open. They're light, they're refreshing, and just wonderful. And then the trick on a very well-made rosé is, believe it or not, they use red grape varietals for that. There's kind of a misnomer because, you know, we see Concord grapes when you squeeze them and you see purple juice come out of it. And actually, most of those red wines, whether it's Pinot Noir, Grenache, whatnot, that grape actually makes white wine. And so when you squeeze that Pinot Noir, Cabernet, or Grenache, you get white wine, and it's the contact with the skins that actually pigments it and turns it red. So that's why when Sutter Home had that little mistake, they only contacted the skins to the wine for only about maybe 2 to 5 hours and had to flush the tank. Where that's the kind of the secret, where it, a good, well-made rosé is made from a red grape varietal, and then they only contact it with the skins, just depending on the winemaker, for maybe a day, maybe a two at the most, and that's what gives it its great coloration and also gives it its flavor. So, you know, there's so many wide varieties of coloration that you'll see. You'll see pale onion skin rosés all the way to a dark, dark rosé like a Tavel. It almost looks like you're drinking a red wine because it's so pigmented. But that's the interesting thing about that, is that it just gives it some great flavoration truly enjoy it. And a couple ones that I really like that are standards around my house that I keep around almost year-round now because I like to drink rosé even in the wintertime. One is called Mado in Provence. Now, Provence is that southern region down in south of France by Nice. It's so gorgeous. You have the Mistral Mountains, wonderful wines, but light, easy drinking, and it's a beautiful pink wine. We also have one you're talking about, a little bit lighter style one, that's made from down in Corsica. And it's a Corsican rosé, really light, very easy to drink. And that one in particular has that kind of onion skin pink, you know, real thin, light one. It's called Domaine Fazi. Now, the Fazi is, again, lighter style, easy to drink, whatnot. We also just picked up an interesting rosé recently. Again, it's from France. It's because I would argue the French really know how to make rosé, and they've mastered it brilliantly. It's called OC and Company. Wonderful wine. I mean, just, again, south of France, dominated by Pinot Noir is the grape varietal that they use, but it's an elegant, rich wine and so full of flavor, but they're so, so enjoyable. And quite frankly, they're very universal as well. So if you are going out and grilling, you know, some nice chicken on your grill, or you're dropping in some shrimp or things like that, or just enjoying a salad, those rosés go so well. I mean, you know, the classic, you're in the south of France, you're having a Niçois salad and a glass of rosé, you know life is good in God's green earth and just so enjoyable, because this second summer that we're having is a head scratcher of how warm it is right now in Minnesota, but we'll take it any day, that's for sure.
Well, and you mentioned it a bit ago that, and I agree with you, that it doesn't have to be summer to drink it. I found, in fact, you guys talking about this, that it can be a wine year-round.
You're very correct. And, you know, again, it's a great way to start out. It makes a aperitif wine to start out, whether it's just people coming over and having a quick gathering. Because, you know, in the winter months, you don't even have to chill it as much as you would like to in the summer months. You know, you can kind of just pull it out of the fridge or even at cellar temperature, and it's still very enjoyable, very light, very well made. But, you know, the interesting thing that the customer should be aware of when they're going to find a rosé, try to find out how much residual sugar is in it, because that is kind of the factor. And again, that was sort of eventually became the scarlet letter for White Zinfandel, because they were so sweet and so sugary that people didn't like drinking them, or they scared them away. Now you see these things and they are bone dry, so enjoyable. And again, if you're just doing some shrimp on the grill, or even like poaching a nice fish, oh, it's just brilliant. Just a great way to enjoy this heat wave that we're having.
And not to be real specific, Ted, but you could find a rosé that's pretty reasonable. Am I right?
Well, and I know a place where you can do it, Denny, and that's at Haskell's. There's multiple ones. The ones, the three that I mentioned, are all under $15. They're just great ways of, you know, of great, wonderful wines. And you know what? We can't cool you down at Haskell's, but we can definitely get you refreshed. And with that, we have a Haskell's all around to take care of all your needs. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with lots of free parking on the weekends. We have Haskell's in Minnetonka, Haskell's in Highland Village, Haskell's down in Lobans Plaza in Bloomington. We have a Haskell's out in White Bear Lake if you're out east. Also, if you're going to go on the river, stop by Haskell's in Stillwater. We have a Haskell's in Plymouth. Haskell's, if you're down south in Faribault, don't forget to stop by our super cellar up in Maple Grove. Check that out. Or if you're out on the lake on a warm day like today, step out at Haskell's in Excelsior. And if you can't hit any of those Haskell's, you could always hit Haskell's.com 24/7. And we'll take care of you and make sure you have the right rosé to make your event perfect.
And, Ted, we've got about three and a half minutes or so to go, and we're talking about grilling today, and beyond that, that's a great idea as far as rosé with the shrimp. But I personally am thinking about grilling either steak. I've had some pretty good luck with pork chops, too. And I know if I was going to grill steak tonight, there'd be no doubt about Malbec. But what do you think about the grilled pork chops? Just, you know, kind of regularly, nicely seasoned.
Denny, you know, I think your middle name, we might change to Malbec, because you definitely like those Malbec. That's terrific. Well, it depends. If you want to stick to, like, you know, a pork chop, again, pretty universal. It's a light white meat like that. I would probably recommend some good Pinot Noirs. And there's a range of Pinot Noirs that you can try, whether it's a Fog Mountain or a little Bourgogne Rouge from Burgundy. You know, they're under $20. They're lighter. They're elegant. They'll hang in there, even if you kind of over, if you do a little bit of a heavier spice to it. So Pinot Noir is one of my favorites for definitely a grilled pork chop, because, you know, nothing better than doing that. You know, and actually you could even sneak in one of those rosés, the Tavel Cuvée Royale. Now, that's a rosé. Like I said, the coloration of it almost looks like a red wine. It's so big and bold, and it's light, refreshing. You can put it on the bottom of the ice chest, get it all nice and ice cold, and enjoy it and wash it down while you're enjoying that pork chop.
Oh, sounds great. Ted, we have a minute or two. A listener wants to know if you could give a little bit of advice about chilling both reds and whites. What's a rule of thumb for both?
Well, the rule of thumb, you know, definitely you chill white a lot more than you chill red wines. Now, red wines in general, what I like to say is you should serve that at what they call cellar temperature, which is about 60 degrees, like taking it literally out of your cellar or your wine fridge or whatever at about 60 degrees where it's enjoyable and nice. Now, on the other side, with certain white wines, you can overchill. You know, a Sauvignon Blanc or a Riesling will take chilling to the max. You can get those ice cold. Now, a Chardonnay, for the same note, if you over chill a Chardonnay, it locks up a lot of the flavor. It doesn't taste very much. Chardonnay should be closer to that cellar temperature rather than ice cold. You can still drink them that way, but it's just not as enjoyable. You don't get all the nuances. A lot of the berries and fruit flavor of a Chardonnay lock up, and you kind of lose some of that when you over chill a Chardonnay.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, let's do this. For those folks maybe new to the area and have maybe heard the name Haskell's, but Haskell's has been around for how many years now, Ted?
Well, Denny, we've been around for 90 years, and if you talk to some of the other folks, we're even around probably about 10, 20 years during Prohibition as well. Benny Haskell's taking care of some bootlegging needs throughout the area. But we started out with one little shop right down there on 7th Street, and we've grown it up to 10 stores throughout the metro area. And it's been an enjoyable run, and we'd love to be a part of the Minnesota fabric.
Was that store, remind me, Ted, that first one of the early ones, was that across like the Nankin?
You are correct. That old great Chinese restaurant right there that just was just so delicious. But yes, we were right down there on 7th Street. Originally, Benny's headquarters was in the old Radisson Hotel on the top floor when he did a little bit of the bootlegging and all that type of stuff. But then my father purchased Haskell's in 1970 from his widow, Fritzy. And it was just that one little shop right down there. And we slowly grew as the metro area grew as well.
Well, Ted, before we go, and again, you mentioned it earlier, but tell folks who may be, again, new to the area, give us the locations of Haskell's so they can do some shopping.
Well, we love to do that. We have Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with free parking on the weekend. We have a Haskell's in St. Paul. We have a Haskell's in Bloomington. We have a Haskell's out in Stillwater. We have a Haskell's in White Bear Lake, Plymouth, Faribault. Maple Grove has our super cellar of 20,000 square feet of wine fun. And then we also, if you're out on the lake today, stop by a Haskell's in Excelsior if you're out on the lake to enjoy any of that and stock up on some of those rosés to beat the heat.
All right. Well, have a safe trip back, Ted, and we'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to it.
Ted Farrow from Haskell's. Yeah, that voice was Mary Meyer from the U of M. She's going to be with us next hour on our Smart Garden Show. Any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'll take next hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO.